Our first reading is from Psalm 23, beginning with the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with the 18th verse. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from your body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God with the angels, the authorities, and the powers, having been subjected to him. The word of the Lord.
My dear friends in Christ, please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. The Gospel of our Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would hear your word and it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Some people, when they begin to work on a project, know exactly what tool is needed. They go get it, and they use it. Other people will use literally anything they can get their hands on, whether or not it's the right tool. These are people, like I have seen, who will, instead of going to get a hammer, will just grab the decoration off the mantle and use the bottom of it. People that will use butter knives instead of screwdrivers, leaving little nicks at the end of all of the butter knives in the house. These are people like Heidi, who was an American I knew when I was in Uganda, who once was trying to get something into a Ugandan electrical socket and couldn't quite get it in, so she grabbed a metal knife and was about to stick it in the outlet, and thankfully two of us saw what was about to happen and tackled her before she could do it. But the fact is that we as human beings are tool-making and tool-using creatures. We're not animals that live by sheer instinct. We're not angels who live by sheer spiritual intelligence. We're humans. constantly using and needing tools. And what we're going to do in this season of Lent, which began Wednesday and runs all the way through the end of March, before Easter, what we're going to do is we're going to learn together and begin to use together a very important God-given tool. We're doing a series called Praying the Psalms, and each week we will look at one psalm from the Bible and begin to learn together how to use that psalm, and in fact the whole book of Psalms in the Bible, as our God-given tool for prayer. Each week we'll have an extended time of response to the sermon in which we'll actually put into practice the tool of praying the psalm. Sometimes that will be quiet and meditative. Sometimes it will be a creative form of congregational singing. Sometimes it will actually involve moving around the room, if you're so adventurous. Sometimes it will incorporate the artistic ability of some of our members in creative ways. Each week, we will learn to pray the Psalms using the Psalms as our God-given tool for prayer. Now, this may be challenging for you. That's okay. It is for me. I tend to personally to analyze and figure out the meaning of what I read. But the whole point of the Psalms is to lead us to prayer, not to study. Now, they can be studied, but the real point of the Psalms is prayer, not study. They do teach us in the process, but the Psalms are God-centered and God-breathed prayer first and foremost. So we use these God-given and God-inspired Psalms rightly when we pray them and we sing them. So this morning, being the first in the series, we're going to look a bit more generally at the Psalms and then dig just a little bit deeper into the famous Psalm 23. So to begin, a few essentials about the Psalms in the Bible. So first, the Psalms are the Bible's prayer book and hymnal. The book of Psalms is a book in the Old Testament. It's made up of 150 individual psalms. Some are very, very short, and some are quite long. There are a variety of different themes and topics throughout. They're full of joy and pain and tragedy and happiness and panic. They're full of prayers for personal needs, prayers for those around us, prayers even for those who may be hurting us, and ultimately they point us to God and His glory. And the Psalms are quite literally the Bible's prayer book and hymnal. They were sung and recited faithfully by God's people in worship, in the home, and even specific places in their lives. They were supposed to sing or say these Psalms. If you were an Israelite, this would be your prayer book. This was the tool you had for prayer. And it was also the original set of hymns. I mean, this was the hymnal that was sung in worship when the congregation gathered. This is what they sang. Now, the Psalms were not the only prayers or the only songs that were used, but they were the main core, the basic set that would have been prayed and sung by the Israelites. Personally, I have always struggled a bit with the Psalms. As I said, I like to analyze and figure things out, and of course they can be analyzed, but the primary purpose is prayer. And so if we don't use them in that way, then we miss the very purpose for which they were given. And so what we're going to do in this series is not careful, detailed study verse by verse through the Psalms, but to learn the Psalms as they were designed to be used in prayer. Now, if we don't particularly like the Psalms, that doesn't mean we can't pray. If we don't like using prayers that are written for us, but only like to just pray whatever comes into our minds, we're not excluded from praying. But if we neglect the Psalms, as I have done most of my life, if we neglect our God-given and God-inspired tool, then we actually remove ourselves from the very center of prayer that the majority of Christians throughout the ages and Jesus himself used in prayer. This is our God-given tool for prayer. And by praying the Psalms themselves, the actual words of the Psalms, it helps us to begin to pray not just what we want, but to actually pray what God wants. It gets us out of ourselves as we begin to pray God's desires instead of merely our own. Praying our own desires is not bad, but this gets us out of ourselves, and we learn to pray God's desires and what He thinks is important for us. And praying the Psalms helps us move beyond saying the same things about the same things all the time. I've started my Lenten discipline this year is I'm going to pray through the entire book of Psalms during Lent, and I have a tool that I will give you all if you would like to take that on yourself. But I've immediately, so it started this past week, and I've immediately found that I'm praying about different things than I typically do. Praying the Psalms themselves pulls me out of myself, and I begin to pray very differently than I do when I just pray what's on my mind. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but using the Psalms pulls me out of myself a little bit and teaches me what to pray for. The Psalms are the Bible's prayer book and hymnal. Second thing about the Psalms is the Psalms point us to Jesus. When we read the Psalms on this side of his incarnation, life, death, and resurrection, we see that Jesus is present throughout the whole book. He is the anointed one. He is the king that's spoken of. He is the one who redeems us from our enemies. He is the Lord who is our shepherd. And Jesus himself says ultimately that they're about him. When we pray the Psalms from a New Testament perspective, we see that these God-given prayers point us to Jesus. Now, a third thing about praying the Psalms teach us to pray. This is one of the incredibly important things about worship in our Anglican tradition. We believe that the way that we worship and the prayers that we pray teach us to pray. There's a teaching aspect, a pedagogical aspect of the worship and prayer that we have. For example, Jesus' disciples ask him, Lord, teach us to pray, and he doesn't give them a class, he gives them a prayer. Pray this, the Lord's Prayer, which we in our tradition pray at every service we have. Part of why we use this form of worship with so many words already written for us is because using good prayers teaches us to pray. It does take some effort on our part to work at it, to keep it from becoming mere rote repetition. But part of why we use so many pre-written prayers is because they are designed to lead us in the process and actually teach us how to pray. How to come to our Heavenly Father in humble and heartfelt prayer. And how we pray also teaches us a lot about ourselves. Wayne Grudem, in his book Christian Beliefs, which is the book that we'll be using in the Tuesday Bible study that starts this coming week, Grudem, in his chapter on prayer, writes that when we truly pray, we pray with the wholeness of our character relating to the wholeness of God's character. Therefore, what we think and feel about God will come through in our prayers. What we think and feel about God will come through in our prayers. We learn a lot about ourselves and our view of God by what and how we pray. And even more than that, more than the fact that our feelings and thoughts towards God come out in our prayers, but it also sort of works in the other way, that what we pray and how we pray actually impacts our thoughts and feelings about God. What and how we pray changes our view of God. And praying the Psalms teaches us to pray and actually changes us by praying God's inspired prayers. As the author Eugene Peterson says, praying the Psalms becomes our tool for being and becoming. Our being is transformed as we become more and more like Jesus. Or as St. Benedict pointed out, the way that praying the Psalms helps the motions of our hearts come in line with the movement of our lips. The movement of our lips, the words that we pray, the words that we say actually begin to shape the motions of our hearts. So praying the Psalms teaches us to pray. So how do we do that? That's the question. How do we do that? How do we pray the Psalms? Now, I would say that it is very simple. It is not always easy, but it is very simple. Read a verse, or a phrase, or a couple of verses, and then do one of two things. One is just allow the actual words of the psalm to be your prayer. Read it as a prayer to God. Whatever the words are, use those exact words. Read those prayers in a prayerful attitude. Read them as your prayer to God. Personally, when I do that, I find that I can only possibly do that if I do really slowly. If I go too quickly, I can read and understand them, but I can't really pray them. So slow down and use them as a tool for prayer, as the actual words of your prayer as you pray them. A second way to do it is to read that same verse, phrase, couple of verses, and then use what you just read as a springboard to pray for all sorts of other things. You may stick pretty closely, or you may go all over the place, but using that as a springboard, as a place to start your prayers and to show you what direction to pray in that instance. So it might be something very simple, like, "The Lord is my shepherd," and you slow down and say, "Lord, you are my shepherd." It's not cheating to simply use the words themselves. But if you can, then think of ways that the words that you have, the actual words of the psalm, think of ways that those then connect with your experience or with the world or with your family or with the people around you, and use those words as a springboard, as a starting place to show you what to pray for those things. And then read the next phrase or verse or couple of verses and do the same thing. And just keep going until you run out of time or run out of psalm. And if you run out of psalm before you run out of time, go to the next one. Read and pray the Psalms. That's it. It's nothing fancy. As I said, it doesn't mean it's easy, but it's not fancy. Use the actual words of the psalm as a prayer to God, or use the words of the psalm as a starting point for your prayer. And so what we're going to do today, being the first one in this series, as I said, each week it will be different, the way that we respond. And so today, the way we're going to do this is we're going to take about 10, 12 minutes or so, and we're going to pray Psalm 23. For those of you that would like something to write down on, there's a yellow sheet of paper. The back is blank in your bulletin. If that would help you, there's a place to write if that would help. But what we're going to do, not quite yet, but we're going to put a portion of the psalm up on the screen. I'm going to say a little bit about it as a place to get you thinking. And then I'm going to invite someone on the music team to come up and play some music. But we're going to have some music playing in the background while we just otherwise have some silent prayer about the verse that will be up on this verse or verses that will be up on the screen in front of you. So the first verse of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now shepherds in the book of the Psalms is the most intimate metaphor of God that we find there. It's far more common for God to be spoken of as king or deliverer or rock or shield, but here, God is our shepherd. Shepherds lived with the sheep. They were everything to the sheep. They were guide and doctor and protector. And so as we begin, you might pray something like this. "Lord, I thank you that you are my shepherd. I trust that you will shepherd me no matter what comes my way. Thank you that you are the good shepherd who stays with me even in trouble and trials. I pray that you will shepherd me through this specific trial that I'm facing now, and that you would guide me as only you can. I pray that you will shepherd my children and call them to be part of your flock, the church. Deliver them from evil. I pray for those you've given in the church who shepherd me. Sustain them as they serve as your under-shepherds. And then perhaps you move on to the next phrase, I shall not want. And perhaps you say something like this, Lord, thank you for the abundant blessings that you have given me. In so many ways, I am not in want. Lord, as my shepherd, I pray for your provision in this situation. I'm not praying for extravagance, but I'm asking for your provision in this situation. Let your mind bounce and tumble around these topics and see what comes out in prayer. And if you aren't sure what to do or what to say, it is not cheating to simply pray the words written for you on the screen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And say it again, focusing on the Lord who is your shepherd. So let's take 2 minutes to pray this first verse. Next set of verses. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You may find that you can't read those words without taking a deep, relaxing breath. Or you may find yourself feeling anything but relaxed and peaceful. And these words don't even sound true to you in your experience right now, and that's okay. Turn that to honest prayer. Lord, I'm anxious and nervous and fearful and angry, and I don't feel like I am peaceful or protected. And perhaps that's all you've got, and say that. And then maybe you could add, Lord, I need you to restore my soul. Or maybe you'll connect with the last phrase, for his name's sake, and pray something like, Lord, I pray that my life will give you glory, knowing that your blessings are given to me to be used for your name's sake. So let's take 2 minutes and pray these two verses. Thank you. and verses 4 and 5. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This is a picture of walking along a scary mountain pass with dangers and unknowns all around. And the basis of our ability not to be overcome with fear is that God is with us. A couple of days ago, my daughter got scared in bed as she was trying to go to bed alone in the dark because her bed was creaking. Me explaining to her that it was just her bed and she was safe did nothing. I could not explain it to her in a way that would calm her down. But Daddy sitting next to the bed made all the difference in the world. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Let's take 2 minutes to pray these verses. And now the last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Follow here does not simply mean to come behind, but to pursue. Surely your goodness and mercy will pursue me, will come after me. Both of my children have gone through phases where they want to be in physical contact with me at all times. I walk through the door and I immediately have a child-sized growth attached to my leg or my arm or my waist. I do the dishes and suddenly I have little helpers and little arms sticking up in front of me and around me, trying to be right in the middle of what I'm doing. And I find myself asking questions like, do you really have to build Legos directly between my feet? I try to talk to my wife and my daughter is standing on my toes trying to dance with me. I discover for the first time in my life how truly thankful I am that bathroom doors have locks on them while I see these little fingers coming under trying to get me. They pursue me. And I cannot get away from them. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me, pursue me all the days of my life. Let's take 2 minutes to pray this last verse. Thank you. And now to close, I invite you to please stand. And we're going to pray together the whole psalm, straight through together. We'll go a little bit slowly, but let's pray through the whole psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.